But we come to this passage of God's word, which is so refreshing, which is so wonderful. John chapter 9 is very precious to me because as I remember reading it so many years ago now, over 20 years ago, I remember as I read about this man and saw how Christ had opened his eyes when I was unconverted, I was praying to the Lord, Lord, give me the same sight as well. Help me to see. May this be your prayer as well. At that time, I was quite religious and I was also going to church. Sadly, that congregation, that church that I went to, didn't really preach the gospel clearly. But I'm thankful for the word of God. And the word of God came to this man. It wasn't just the healing of his eyes that indicates his salvation, but at the end, it is the word of Jesus Christ to him that he said he is the Son of God, that he must believe on him. There are many people who are raised in churches as it was in the times of Christ when there are many who went to the synagogues, these Pharisees, and they said many good things. You read about their conversation with this man and they say a lot of right things. They're concerned for the truth and they challenge this man and they're concerned about keeping the Sabbath and all of those things are not bad things, they're good things. But one thing they got wrong was the person of Jesus Christ. They didn't even know who he was. And sadly, there are people who are raised in churches like this and homes that read the scriptures. And my fear is that if people are carry on in that way, we could have a mind full of knowledge, but denying God. And forsaking him and had a hardened heart. That was the case with a young man, Robert Louis Stevenson. You all know him, I trust, through the books that he wrote, the children's books, Treasure Island and so on. But he was raised in a godly home in Scotland. And at the beginning, he professed to be a Christian. He professed to be someone who believed the word of God. And would defend it. As a young boy, he once was looking in Edinburgh, was looking out as a child, fascinated by this man who would go round turning on the lights. They used to have those gas lights, and there was a responsible man who would go and turn these gas lights, and everything was black. Imagine that. In those days, people didn't have their own lights except their lamps and their candles. And so they would have a designated person who would go turning on the lights. And as a boy, he saw this. He was fascinated and he would shout, "Look, look! There's a man out there punching holes in the sky. Punching holes in the darkness." That's how he saw as a little boy. That everything was black, and here was a man, suddenly he goes and there's a light that comes on. And that statement of that, with his childish wonder, Robert Louis Stevenson, summed up the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sadly, as I said, Stevenson, he turned out to be a hater of God and he spoke strongly about Christ and he said he wants to set his life to destroy Christianity. That is what he said. So the writer of Treasure Island, his view was he didn't want people to believe in God, especially the God of the Bible. But what he said as a child gives us a good picture of the Savior. The Savior of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world and he accomplished many things, many great and miraculous wonders he performed. Yet his primary purpose was to, as it were, punch great holes in the spiritual darkness that covered this world and in people's lives. He did this for this man. This man was sitting in darkness. And Jesus Christ came, and his eyes began to see. Light came through, and he was able to see. But more than that, the Lord Jesus Christ said this to him, I am the light of the world. He doesn't say, I have just come to make people see. I have not just come to do social work amongst you and make your life a little better while you live in this miserable world. No, no. I've come to bring spiritual light. And that's what we are about here this morning, friends. In this passage detailing the healing and the salvation of a poor blind man, this salvation is shining brightly. And while we have the opportunity today, let's think about that. Let's take a time and to look to Christ. And it's a passage that we've come to even in recent times and thought about this, but I want to look at it from a slightly different angle. Christ, the light of the world. If you find yourself that you are in spiritual darkness this morning and confusion, I'm here to tell you that Jesus Christ is the only Savior. That He is the only one who can bring you into the light and to see the world and to see yourself and to see God as they are truly. You may be brought up for part of your life, as I said, in congregations such as this. You've heard faithfully the gospel, maybe, but maybe like that man, Robert Louis Stevenson, maybe you have become hardened. Maybe you've seen hypocrisy. Maybe you have heard all kinds of wicked things, and that has made you to drift away. And you're living your life, maybe on a Sunday you come and you begin to think about certain things, but then the rest of the week you're just living with thoughts for yourselves, but without any thought of God. Oh yes, you're trying to live a decent life, helping your family and others, but you're running on empty spiritually, and maybe you're doing your best to work and your career and your education and all of those things, and yet you find yourself worried about all the things that are going on in this world. You're worried about this and that, the latest new thing, and the latest sad news. It horrifies you. What if you catch this? What if this happens to you? What if you were in that situation? And yet you find yourself like so many others in the world who you're not really seeking the Lord in these things. You're just trying to work harder. What we need, my friends, is the Lord shining into our lives today, into our darkness. As he came to this man that day, he was sitting, like any other day. And yet God sent his son, Jesus Christ. And not only for that man, but he sent him, and his truth and his testimony remains now, and he's alive even today. Don't reject his light. Don't reject his truth. Don't reject this gospel. Now, notice three things here in the time that we have about this passage that we read together. And about how the Lord Jesus Christ is revealed as the light of the world. First of all, I want you to see in those first 10 verses of the misery of the sightless man. The misery of the sightless man. And then secondly, in verses 11, more or less to the end of the chapter, you see the way Christ sovereignly ministered. And then thirdly, I want to conclude by the message of this supernatural miracle. What's the message of it for you and I? So let's think about it. The first thing is this, the misery of this sightless man. Of course, there is his blindness. Verse 1, and Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. What a sad state. This man, according to the scriptures, was born blind. And to my way of thinking, this would be one of the most horrible of physical handicaps. to never see a sunset, to never see a flower, to not be able to distinguish color, to not see a face of a child, to not see the faces of your loved ones. That would be a terrible thing. Do you thank God for your sight every day? Do you thank God that your children have sight to see? Imagine if they couldn't see. There are many people who are blind, born blind in this world, are made blind. So be thankful to God for even your sight. Yet this man had lived his entire life in this state of darkness. He'd never seen any light. And friends, may I say that there is this blindness that is far worse than having sightless eyes. It is far worse. And that is spiritual darkness. And that's what the Bible says, the entire world, without God, they are spiritually in darkness. And that's why we need salvation from God. That's why we can't make ourselves see. We need God to make us see. And this is what the apostle says in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And he says that even Satan has blinded us so that we won't believe. And that is why when a Christian talks to a non-Christian, oftentimes you think you are speaking to someone who is lifeless. They have no experience. You try to explain color to someone who is blind. So if you have never come to see who Jesus Christ is as the Savior from sin, if you have never come to truly, with all your heart, trust in Him, then of course these things might be strange to you. But listen on. Listen on. Don't give up. Don't think, well, I don't understand any of these things, so I just might as well. Don't listen. Don't come. Don't pursue. And so the message here is that if you don't understand these things, and if these things don't mean anything to you, or you haven't experienced this, is that you are in that spiritual darkness this morning. However, there is hope. And that's the gospel. There is hope. Think, this man's birth, he had been born like this. Verses 2 and 3 tells us, and his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. So the scriptures indicate that this man was born blind, not only handicapped, but he was also in poverty. His birth seemed to be a thing of terrible misfortune. And many would say that he would have been better off if he had never been born, that he should have been aborted in the womb. Sadly, that is the idea of so many people now. If someone says, well, if the child has some sort of deformity, if the child has Down syndrome, then the best thing is to abort the child in the womb, to murder the child. My friends, that's the state in which we are living in. This is the country in which we are living in. And in people's ideas. And yet, imagine if this man was murdered in the womb before he was born. He would have never seen the Lord Jesus Christ. He would have never experienced this salvation. And praise God, I personally know of individuals with great problems. Mental problems, physical problems. And yet they have come to know the joy of salvation in Jesus Christ. And they're thankful to be alive, even though they may not do many things. Life is precious. Your life is precious. And so, aim to pursue the thing that is going to last the longest. Not this world, but eternity and glory. We find here that the Lord Jesus Christ felt very much different about this man. He tells the disciples that this man's handicap was allowed by God so that he could get glory from this man's life. And what a wonderful truth this is. Men need to realize that God can take any life, regardless of how that life has been ruined by sin and the various problems of life that you have. And God can save that life by His own grace and turn it into a thing of endless blessing and joy. Friends, after all, man's purpose, your purpose, my purpose in this world, the fact that God has made me, is so that I might behold God and glorify Him. That's the purpose. Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 43 and verse 7, "For I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him for my glory," God says. And my friends, the Lord Jesus Christ specializes in salvaging old, wasted lives. There is nothing too hard for the Lord. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Well, this is the state of this man's life. But we find him not just blind, not just in a bad state, but he's begging. Have you ever been in London tubes and you see poor people coming begging? You see individuals on Bath Road, you see individuals in center of town begging. And your heart breaks. You think, what has happened in this person's life? What has brought them so low that they go begging? Well, praise God that they're begging, not stealing. That's one thing. And if God wasn't gracious to us, we would be in the same place as well. So be thankful to God. But this man was unable to find employment, and as a result, he was reduced to begging for what food and money he received. And this is a pitiful state to be in. This was no rich man, and it would even appear that his parents didn't really care for his well-being. That's what you read in verses 20 through to verse 22. It seems that his parents didn't really care for him. They said, well, you go and ask him. We're not going to say anything. They were more worried, not for their son, but their own skin. They were worried that they'll be thrown out of the synagogue. Imagine that. How can your heart become so hardened against your own son who is in this pitiful state? But friends, this is the same situation of every lost sinner finds himself or herself in this state today. Spiritually speaking, if we are not converted, we are hopelessly bankrupt and have no way of providing the things we need on a spiritual level. Oh, men would try to satisfy that spiritual itch that resides in their soul, and God has put that spiritual itch in you. But what do? We go after work. This is going to be helped if I just work harder. If I just find a wife and find a husband, and that will solve that itch. Or if I just have family and have a small family, large family, whatever size you want. If I have a boy and a girl, that will resolve my spiritual itch. If I just go after education and do the best I can to get into the best colleges and universities. If I just go and travel the world and see all kinds of things, or maybe just satisfy my flesh and take pleasure in drugs and alcohol and sensual things, and so on. Trying to do that. But do you see what men are doing? This is begging. Begging for pleasures from different kind of directions and angles. It's just another form of begging. Begging to meet the need that we feel we have. However, these are only for all different forms of begging. And true spiritual peace will be found, friends, nowhere else but in this person who met this blind man, Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ endured poverty that we might be made rich in Him. The Lord Jesus Christ endured great spiritual as well as physical poverty so that you and I, if we know Him and trust in Him, might enjoy the riches of the Lord's great spiritual blessing, the riches of His grace. What is that? Christ suffered so that we might have salvation. Christ suffered that we might have eternal life. Christ suffered that we might have heaven and the Holy Spirit and adoption and be able to call God Father, to be able to pray. There are many people living, religious people, nominal Christians. They say their prayers, but they're not praying. They really do not have that communion with God. They have not yet experienced this relationship and this salvation and this being born again of God's Spirit. That's what we need, my friends. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ gives through the power of His Spirit. So here is this man, sightless and in his misery. The second thing is this. Of the ministry of a sovereign master. The ministry of someone who is sovereign, who is in control, who can command the storms to cease, the wind to cease, as well as He can give sight to the blind. That's an amazing thing. This man was exposed to the light. When the Lord Jesus Christ passed by, this man's life was forever changed. Is that what you need? Of course. The Lord Jesus first healed him of his physical handicap. This anointing of the eyes with the clay and the spittle would have caused irritation in his eyes. And when the Lord Jesus Christ comes to you and I, when there is preaching, when you read the scriptures, when you hear something from the Word of God, that might also cause you irritation. It might offend you. It might upset you. You might say, well, why does He go on like this? Why does He talk about sin all the time? And it might upset you at times. I have to say, personally, I don't apologize for that. As long as I'm preaching faithfully from the Word of God. The irritation is a good thing because it helps you to seek what is good for your soul. And the Lord Jesus Christ comes to us in the preaching of the Word of God. He comes to the sinners like us in convicting us with His power. And He causes this irritation in our soul. Don't despise it. Because it is the only way anyone can ever be saved. Anyone who has been saved, they have been first irritated. They have been first stirred up. It's the work of God. The Lord Jesus Christ said in chapter 6 and verse 44, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." When the man went to Siloam, when he washed his eyes, he was healed of the blindness, as the Lord Jesus Christ had said. And think about it, I find it interesting that when he was reporting this back, he never talks about the making of the clay and the spittle. He doesn't put that in his report when he reports back. Why is that? Because at that time he couldn't even see. He didn't see what the Lord had been doing. And I thought that's a wonderful truth here. For those of you who are at this moment in time, you are interested, you're seeking. Or those of you believers, Christians, who are thinking through your life at this moment in time. There are times when God is working in our lives to bring us to Himself. And often we cannot see the Lord's work. And even when we are saved by His grace, We may never realize all the little things that God did to bring us to the place of salvation. We were blind at the time. We didn't see. We didn't see all the little things. We didn't see all the links in the chain that brought us to that place. But God had been working. And we should be thankful to God for that. And after the Lord Jesus Christ exposed the man to the physical light, he began to lead him through a series of events that brought him face to face with who Jesus Christ really is. Because when he had received his sight, he wasn't yet converted. He wasn't yet a believer. All he had that had happened to him, that he had physically been healed. And praise God, still Jesus Christ heals physically as answer to prayer by his grace. But being able to see with these physical eyes is never enough. Simply experience some sort of an answer to prayer is not enough. We must also come to the place where we are able to see spiritual truth, and that truth changing our hearts. And that is what the Lord Jesus Christ did here. Notice the progression this man went through as the light, Christ light, began to shine into his heart, and as this light drew him to himself. He begins by calling the Lord Jesus, Jesus, as a man. Verses 10 and 11, look at it. Therefore they said unto him, how were thine eyes opened? This is the Pharisees. How were your eyes made open? He answered and said unto them, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. So this is a man that is called Jesus. And that is interesting. It could have been any 1,000 men. Just someone named Jesus came to him. That's all he thinks at that point. And this is where many people are today. All they know is that Christians get excited about, and they preach about, and they sing about some man, some person named Jesus Christ. But just knowing a little about Jesus Christ, or being able to speak his name, is not enough to save you. Because if you don't know him any better than this, then you do not know him at all. If that's the case, then you will be unable to help others to find him. In verse 12, then said they unto him, where is he? And he said, I know not. I don't know. If it's just a man to you, you don't know. So think about this, friends. This man has a very limited knowledge. But then, there's further progress. God is at work in him. In verse 13, they brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind, and it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then it says, again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed and do see. Therefore said one of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division amongst them. They say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him, that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, he is a prophet. Do you see? There's a change now. At the beginning, he was a man, just a man who came to him and healed him. But now he's a prophet. So in other words, what he's saying, that he is a man to be listened to. So he's not just a man, but he is a prophet, and he must be listened to. His words are important for you. And this man had listened to Jesus. I listened to him. He made clay. He put it on my eyes. Then he told me to do this. And so that's what I did. I just did what he said to me. He must be a prophet. His words are true. So he concluded that the Lord Jesus Christ is worthy of being listened to. And yes, he is. The Father says to us in the Bible, he said to the disciples, hear ye him? And friends, again, there are many people who have received this much light today. Their opinion of Jesus is that he is a wise man, that he is a great teacher, that he is a guide for them. However, before salvation will enter and will ever shine the glory of its power deep into your soul, you're going to have to realize that he's far more than one showing the way. He's more than a prophet. You're going to have to come to the place where you see him as the way, the truth, and the life, or you ever never be saved. And then in verses 18 to 33, he comes to realize that he's a man of God. He's not just a prophet, but he's a man of God. And so through a series of questions that we read together by the Pharisees and some powerful responses that this man gives to the Pharisees, he comes to the conclusion that the Lord Jesus Christ is a man of God. It's God's man. And that is, he's a man to be followed. He even asked the Pharisees, do you want to be his disciples? It is laughable, isn't it? They are furious with him. And he says, don't you want to be his disciples? And he says, no, you are one of his disciples. We won't be his disciples. You are Moses' disciples. And he's right, isn't he? Christ is God's man. But it's not quite far enough. Lost people have to get past Jesus Christ, the man, and realize that he is also the God-man, that he's God. He wasn't just a man. He is the God-man. An ordinary man could never have provided salvation for sinners. It took one who was both God and man at the same time to pay the eternal price for our sins and forever set us free from the penalty that was due and hanging over our heads. And so you must come to the place where you are willing to accept him as God, as Lord, or you'll never be saved. It means you submit to him, you humble yourself, you realize that he's sovereign, he's king. He's more than a teacher, he's more than a preacher. Jesus Christ is more than a prophet, more than a miracle worker. He's more than a poor man who was crucified and was hanging on that cross. He was and is God in human flesh. And then you see that he recognizes Christ as the Son of God. Verses 34 onwards. So finally, the Lord Jesus Christ comes to this man personally, and when the Lord comes, he reveals his true identity to this man. And at this point, the man confesses Jesus Christ to be the Son of God and is gloriously saved. It was then that he was saved. So this man had progressed from seeing Jesus, as so many people do, simply listening to him, or to think that, well, we should simply follow him. He now sees Jesus Christ as one who is worthy of faith and worship. So he bows and he worships him. He says in verse 38, Lord, I believe. He uses the term for God, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Now, if Jesus Christ was merely a prophet, he would have had to stop the man from worshiping him. So when you have people come to you and they say they don't believe that Jesus Christ is God, you have the Jehovah's Witnesses talking to you, you point to this blind man and say, this blind man, worship the Savior. I will follow the same, do the same. So this is, my friends, the true, the conclusion men must arrive before they can ever be saved. Either Jesus Christ is who he said he is, the Son of God, or he's not worthy of our worship. He should not be worshipped. That he is a liar. If he's not the Son of God, then you and I are lost and hopeless this morning. If he's not who the Bible proclaims him to be, then we are of all men most miserable. So this man, God had been revealing to him. And the Lord Jesus Christ showed him that he's not merely a good man, that he's not merely God's man, but he is God and the Son of God. So where does this find you? Here there was a man who said this and was willing to be expelled by the leaders. That's what they did to him. They threw him out. It says in verse 34, and they cast him out. That was the best thing that they ever did for him, to throw him out. What if he stayed? It would have been miserable for him to be amongst all these unbelievers. But they threw him out. And Jesus Christ met him. You see, this is the problem with man-made religion. This is the problem with general false religion. That those who remain in it, they continue on with a hardened heart and blinded eyes. It is better to leave and to go to Christ himself. Don't be hindered by the prejudices that you might have. Don't be hindered by the things that you're thinking and the stumbling blocks that are ahead of you. You see, mere outward religion is not going to save us. Merely dressing nicely to come to church, it is not going to save us. Merely singing God's praises, it will not save us. It's Jesus Christ who saves us. So you and I this morning, we need the Lord Jesus. Or religion will be a dead thing. It will take you nowhere. It will take you to the place where everyone else goes who deny Christ. So never think that simply being religious is going to save. And then this man was excited. You see, he had met Christ, and so he was excited. He wanted to praise God. He wanted to worship the Savior. He'd never experienced this before. It was better than receiving his sight. He'd now come to see the Savior. That's the greatest thing. And this man wasn't a theologian. He had not read Calvin's Institutes. He didn't have any commentaries on his shelves. He didn't have any books. He didn't have money to buy books. He couldn't explain all the things that you might throw at him. But he had come to see Jesus Christ. That was enough for him. He knew the person he's now come to see. Eternal life is what he had received. Peace is what he had received. This knowledge of God, if you have the knowledge of God in Jesus Christ, you're the wisest person. He had seen his life, he was blind. He had never seen the light before. And here is this man who comes that day, not only heals his eyes, but he saves his soul. And let me finish with this. What's this message of this supernatural miracle to us? To us, Christ must be this shining light. He says in verse 5, as long as I am in the world, and my friends, Christ is in heaven at the right hand of the Father, but his Spirit has been sent into this world. Christ is alive, and that is why he says that I will be with you always, even to the end of the world. The Spirit of Christ is with us. And so he says, I am the light of the world. Not I will be the light of the world, or I was the light of the world, but I am. Present tense. He is the shining light. When he walked upon earth, the Lord Jesus Christ was in business of, his purpose was delivering men from darkness. And this is what he does still today. And praise God, he's doing this in all kinds of countries. We may not see so much in the Western world. You see what is the state of our land. The Western society had been blessed with the gospel. The Western society, United Kingdom, America, much of Europe, had been influenced by biblical Christianity for centuries. And yet what have we done? We've thrown it all out. disregarded it. And then Christian churches have thought that they have so improved, they have so become so well educated that they have forgotten the God that they must worship. They have forgotten to be humble. And so what God is doing is saving souls from atheistic countries. That is why China is so busy trying to close down churches. And yet, they cannot. That is why in the Middle East you have people being saved and converted from Islam. They were born blind into false religion, and God is saving them and establishing churches. That's a good thing that God is doing. But what about this land? Oh, that God would visit us again. Oh, that God would shine His light. You see, here is the thing. Jesus was the one who was seeking. Again, it tells us again of the sovereignty of God. In verse 35, it was Christ who sought this man, not the man's Christ. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, who found him? Jesus found him. He said unto him, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" And the Lord Jesus Christ still is doing. And do you know how he does that? It's through the preaching of the gospel. It's through the word of God going out. Christ is going into this world and saving souls. This is why he came. He came to seek and to save that which was lost, the Bible says. He's a saving light. And this man bowed and he received Jesus Christ. Do you think he started thinking about his old days? Do you think he began to think about his blind days, his dark days? No. That was something of the past. The past was gone. Now he sees. He doesn't revel. He doesn't think, "I want to go back to my old life." And this is it, my friend. Maybe you're a Christian, but maybe you have been dabbling with things of the past. You've been listening and watching and communing with individuals and just your own life. Especially in this day and age that of social distancing, we can hide ourselves in our homes and in our rooms and nobody knows what's going on and what you are finding yourself drifting away, little by little. This man wasn't thinking about the dark days that he was so socially distanced from everybody else, that he was cast out because of his blindness. This man never expected to be healed. This man had never heard the gospel. But my friends, the gospel is preached to you this morning. The gospel is this, that Christ has come, and for our sins he was nailed upon the cross. He paid a great debt that you and I must pay to God the Father by his death upon the cross. And God the Father punished him with all of his wrath was poured upon his Son. And then he was buried on the third day, as Jesus Christ has said, he rose again from the dead, showing that all of the things he had said is true. And all who would trust in him as a child, simply trusting him, God has said, he will save them. He will give them eternal life. Now this man was told by the Lord Jesus, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. Now the word of the gospel is now go at the foot of the cross of Jesus Christ. Trust in him with all your heart and he will cleanse you and he gives you new sight. Not only that, he gives you eternal life and forgiveness of sins. May God take us from this state of darkness and give us eyes to see and that joy of knowing that I have been saved. May the Lord then bless us and help us in these things. Amen.